What is confession? Before we answer the question, what confession is, let's answer what confession is not. This part of our small catechism isn't dealing with confessing your faith, but your sins. Second, we're not talking about the general confession of sins we do in the divine service. We're talking about individual confession of sins where the person confesses his or her sins privately to the pastor. The Lutheran reformers did not want to lose the sacrament of private confession, but they wanted to reject the Catholic errors. Catholics were and are required to confess their sins at least once each year to a priest. Mortal sins must be confessed out loud to a priest or they cannot be forgiven. These errors were rightly rejected, but in America, we ended up rejecting private confession altogether. What has replaced it is the Sunday morning general confession. In 1859, this was a hot-button issue in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A district president wrote a congregation that they were free to do away with private confession. But if you do, he writes, you deprive yourselves of the blessings of the glorious rite of private confession, harm the entire congregation, the whole synod, your children, and posterity, especially if you would establish beside private confession, also general confession. General confession began way back in Luther's time. Some of the reformers rejected it completely because they thought it could confirm people in their sins. Luther disagreed. He said the gospel could rightly be applied publicly and privately. He considered the sermon a public absolution, as well as when the pastor says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," in the communion liturgy. However, Luther never included a general absolution in any of the liturgies that he wrote. The fact that general confession is the rule today, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that I'm not allowed to urge people to go to confession. I can urge you to remember your baptism. I can urge you to come to the Lord's table. But I can't urge you to go to confession. Luther said, it's in the Large Catechism, when I urge you to go to confession, I'm simply urging you to be a Christian. Note, urging is not compelling. The compelling has to be on your side, not on my side. The Large Catechism says people are to compel and pressure pastors to hear their confessions and absolve their sins. A consistent sign of a true gospel revival, whether it be in groups or in individuals, is an irresistible impulse toward private confession. You see that in the ministry of John the Baptist, and you see it in Paul's ministry at Ephesus. So, what is confession? First, it's that we confess our sins. Confession is not promising to do better. You see Peter trying that. The Lord had just warned Peter that him and all the disciples would desert him, and Peter himself would deny him three times. You can imagine how shamed bold Peter felt then when he fled from Gethsemane with all the other disciples. He resolves that's not going to happen again, so he follows Jesus all the way into the courtyard of the high priest. He denies once again, but he stays to do better. He denies again, and then he seeks to run, but is caught again. Much better it would have been if Peter had confessed his sin the first time rather than determined to do better the next. Confess confession is what Judas did. Judas went to the office of the ministry, went to the people ordained on earth to forgive sins in God's stead, and said, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." Let that confession stand. Don't water it down saying, "Well, he wasn't really sorry." Modern translations imply as much by translating "seized with remorse, changed his mind," rather than "repented." See, Judas went to hell because he wasn't sorry or sorry enough. Don't go there. Because the next time you say or you think, "I have sinned," you're going to wonder, "Am I really sorry or sorry enough?" Don't measure the degree of your sorrow for sins or the sincerity of your confession. Yet don't think you can get by without confessing your sins. Since we do not compel you to go to private confession, I am not saying you must confess them out loud to me, but I am saying you must confess them. Unconfessed sins don't lie dormant in the heart. They eat it away. You try to stop the gnawing by excusing your sins, but the gnawing keeps on. You try promising you're going to do better. Still, the chewing continues. Finally, you try doing something to make up for your sins, but the ache is still there. King David committed adultery and murder and didn't confess them. He writes, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." See what happens to Jesus in our reading tonight? He's slapped, he's spat on, he's struck with clenched fists. All man's contempt of God and all of God's wrath against your sins are behind those blows and in that spit. What happened to Jesus on the outside for your sins goes on in your insides when you don't confess. Ah, but you say, how can that be? There are plenty of happy people who don't confess their sins at all. Yes, that's true. You can be one of them. Just as you could put 100 pounds on the chest of a dead man and he would feel no weight, so sins can be carried around in the heart of one dead in their sins like so many living rats, and they still will feel no gnawing. Confess your sins. Better yet, confess that in you there is nothing but sin. Our small cult articles say, "He who confesses that all in him is nothing but sin, includes all sins, excludes none, forgets none." Confess that you're nothing but a poor, miserable sinner. But please, don't stop there. Lutherans kept private confession not for the sake of investigating sins, but for the sake of forgiving them. Not so the pastor might hear the salacious details of your life, but so that you might hear the absolution of Christ coming from his mouth. The absolution is always in the indicative. "I forgive you." It is not, "May God forgive you." Modern Lutheran services have replaced a true absolution in the indicative with an announcement of pardon, which tells you what God at one time did and may do now, but not what he does about your sins right here and now. All 5 services in the new hymnal have an announcement of pardon as an option in each of the divine services. In the liturgy for private confession, as well as for the general confession on Maundy Thursday, the pastor asks, "Do you believe my forgiveness is God's forgiveness?" The pastor does not ask, "Are you really, really sorry for your sins?" That's because, as Luther explained, it is not as necessary to ask when a person is absolved, "Are you sorry?" as it is to ask, "Do you believe that you can be forgiven by me?" I'm convinced that what keeps many people away from private confession is not shame over their sins, but doubt that by the pastor's words, sins are really forgiven before God in heaven. Oh, he is stating what might happen. He's stating what could happen. He's stating what he wants to happen. But he doesn't actually send the sins away from me. Well, who then can send your sins away? We chant Psalm 130 often enough. You should know the answer to that. We chant to the Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Well, how can there be forgiveness with God? Only by the shedding of blood, says the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews goes on to say that the blood of goats and bulls in the Old Testament, well, that wasn't enough. The holy God is the one wronged by your sin and your sinfulness. The holy God is the one you slap in the face when you fear anything more than you do him. The holy God is the one you spit on when you love your kids, your spouse, or yourself more than you do him. The holy God is the one you punch in the face when you trust men, science, technology, or money more than you do him. Ever been slapped, spat on, or punched? Made you mad, didn't it? I dare say I have been mad enough to kill in that situation. If it was up to me, I would have, if I could have. Well, God could have. He could have taken the hands that slapped him and nailed them to a cross. He could have made the tongue that spat on him so dry that it cracked and bled. He could have loaded a cross on you and marched you out naked to crucify you for everybody to see and laugh at you. Well, did God do any of that to you? Even if he had, would it have done any good? Would you have paid for even one slap, spittle, or punch? No. Sacrificial animals have to be holy and unblemished. That's not my hands. That's not my tongue. That's not my person. Only God could appease God's wrath. Therefore, God the Son was slapped, spat on, and punched. The blood that spattered from his slap mouth is sprinkled upon you in absolution. The spit running down his face made it possible to lift up your face by absolution. The welts on Jesus' body are applied to your whole, to your face for healing in absolution. That's what Isaiah says. By his stripes we are healed. Jesus won forgiveness for your sins. He bought and he paid for it, and he can do with it what he wants. On Easter night, Jesus put the forgiveness of sins in the mouths of men, saying, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Judas went to the right place to get forgiveness for his horrible sin of betraying Jesus. But horror of all horrors, the forgiveness wasn't there. And friend, absolution, the actual sending away of your sins in real time, is not there for you at Reformed churches either. At best, they're going to tell you what Jesus did for you, not that your painful, oozing sore of sin is forgiven, healed, sent away. Nor is absolution for you at a Catholic church. There, a priest will absolve you. But it will be in connection with the penance he assigns you. You will be forgiven if you do the works he assigns you. So who knows if you ever do them well enough. The real tragedy is that even at most Lutheran churches, absolution will not be present for you. Pastoral counseling might be. Assurance that Jesus died on the cross for your worst sins will be there. You've been telling yourself that already. And that's what absolution has become to you. Talking to yourself. A kind of whistling in the dark night of your sin and guilt. You keep telling yourself that Jesus died for your sins. That's true. You keep telling yourself you are forgiven for this sin that bothers you so much. That's true. Then why is it still so dark? And you are left to whistle ever louder. You can't go to yourself for absolution. Only Jesus has absolution. You know, on Easter, Jesus sent the women to tell Peter especially that Jesus had risen. Then Jesus appeared to Peter personally. But all was not right till Jesus went to guilty Peter on the seashore and absolved him. Jesus has sent me to you. I'm to tell you that Jesus is in that font, on that altar, and in my words to forgive your sins. Jesus does not want you doubting whether all or even just one of your sins are forgiven. Amen.